All right, 5 minutes after 10 o'clock, thank you for tuning in this Friday morning and the day before the anniversary of September 11th, 2001, obviously. And it's kind of coincidental. I don't know that we've planned this way, but it's going to be appropriate. I've got a little feedback happening here. I don't know what's going on. Okay, I think I fixed it. Okay. Lee Kessler is our guest. You might remember Lee. She is a TV actress. She's been in Hill Street Blues, Matlock. Her role was submitted for an Emmy nomination twice for her starring roles in the movie Collision Course, the ABC special Which Mother Is Mine, and she co-starred with Peter O'Toole in the movie Creator, and she has written a book. And the book is called White King and the Doctor. It's a suspense novel about the war on terror based on actual events. And I'm going to let her tell you the rest of the story. She's in Montana?
Yes.
Correct? Good morning, Lee. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Larry and Robbins. Great to be here.
And are you a native Montanian?
No, I grew up in upstate New York and spent, 35 years out in Los Angeles and Hollywood, and we moved to Montana about 6 years ago. Always been a dream.
It looks like a nice place. I've never been there. I told that to another guest, was yesterday or two days ago. We had another Montana guest, so.
Well, I'm Glacier Park area. It's like a little piece of paradise up here, I'm telling you.
My goodness, I'll have to check it out. So what is this book about, White King and the Doctor?
Yes, that's the first book. The new book, White King Rising, is out, and they're, sequel to one another.
Right.
They're stories of what is happening to us in our current events, but through the point of view of the real-life mastermind of Al-Qaeda. So I connected the dots of our experiences and how we're being torn apart and what America's been enduring since 9/11. But connecting him from his angle shows a different picture of what's being done and how it's being done. And I turned them into suspense novels so that people could accept it and understand it a little bit better, because they appear to be so true now, these stories.
Yeah, so do you see your vision of what is happening as an actual, are we being manipulated by our emotions associated with religion, et cetera? Is somebody else, are we being puppets to people's mastermind?
Yes, absolutely, and that was my evaluation. How that came about, Larry, is because I had such a long background in acting, but through those years, the opportunity to play real people, that there's a type of discipline when you're approaching a character when it's a real person. You can do a backstory research on them. And I was puzzled by why at a time when we should have been more united, we were becoming progressively more disunited and vitriolic about it. I mean, the level of debate and hostility in America today, to my mind, is greater than anything in my lifetime. And I said, that to me is symptomatic of what the military calls a fifth column. And the fifth column is a force inside a country that's designed to break the solidarity of a country so that an attacking force would have a better shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me look for that. And when I looked into the background of the real mastermind, I said, let me start with him, because he's influencing all of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is influencing all other terror groups, and all those groups are influencing the whole rest of us. When I began to look into his background, there was something in there that caused me to believe that he could, in fact, be attempting to go along an old Stalin Soviet line of propaganda and mind control, and most definitely the use of religion, one, to recruit, but also to get everybody stirred up in a lot of areas. But the main game is economic, and we're being controlled and manipulated psychologically, in my opinion.
So while it's a novel, you're making a very strong statement about the state of the world right now.
Absolutely. And I was writing about what would happen. In other words, these novels, especially the first one, you're coming right through his point of view. You're right in the camp with bin Laden and him just prior to 9/11. And I began to say, okay, if I've got him, I'll be able to predict what he will do next.
And who is he? Who are we talking about?
Ayman al-Zawahiri. I'm glad you asked that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the Egyptian. And the Israelis had tried to warn us about him back in the 90s. They felt that he was the most dangerous man on the planet. He was so bright, none of their analysts could figure him out, and they didn't know what he was going to do next. That was the challenge I took. I said, well, I'm pretty bright, and I've got a background figuring out what people can do in order to play characters or write characters.
Well, right. Now, that's awesome. I love what you're saying. And I've often thought this myself, that this whole religious divide or racial divide or whatever is dividing us is actually whoever governments or entities or corporations or whoever is actually responsible for all this trying to get something accomplished by dividing us. So the question is, what are they trying to accomplish and why?
Well, it's an old military strategy. I mean, these are fairly simple. It's divide and conquer. And I think the mistake we're making is if we assume that this is all about religion. There's no question that it's in the mix there, and it certainly is possible for this guy, the Egyptian, to recruit young men to go and die based upon his religion.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's driven by religion at all, and that's where some of this analysis has caught the attention of, you know, the counter-terrorist guys and the intelligence community, because they're going, well, we didn't look at this, and her scenarios are now happening and coming true. Yeah. Maybe we're misevaluating.
Yeah, see, I've said this before, that if a man, or a leader, a guy who's seeking power, Hitler, wanted all the gold in the world, or wanted to be the most powerful man in the world, and said to his army, I want you to fight so I can be the most powerful man in the world, there's not a man who would pick up a gun.
Right.
But if he said, these people are bad, their religion is corrupt, we need to kill them, and you could convince him of that, which Hitler did with the Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
obviously,
mm-hmm.
then your emotions somehow take over and you start acting illogically.
Yeah, totally. And that's the stimulus response nature. And you see, Stalin pursued this line as well. They understood that if you can get a program a man, if you will, to go on to a knee-jerk stimulus response reaction, which is what we're experiencing in this country. You know, somebody says yes, the other person says no. And whether it's on politics or on religion, the planting of buttons, you know, they're called marketing buttons in my books, and it's a study of, oh my goodness, how do they marketing and manipulate us. But even with media and talking points and so on, you know, if you hear the word amnesty one too many times, all of a sudden all you've got is a stimulus response reaction on it.
Interesting.
And that's
yeah.
where reason leaves. So these are the stories of how our mind, both individually and as a group, is being reduced and our rationality reduced so that we could succumb. The main goal is economic, bring us down economically.
Well, what's really fascinating is if the person has the right catalyst that's in the positive mode, and we'll use the example of the late Princess Diana and the late Dodi Fayed, she and he were kind of crossing that bridge and saying it was okay to meld two cultures together, and people were accepting of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is totally possible to win, but if someone has, as Larry was talking about, the goal of domination, mm-hmm. they don't want any of that to happen. They don't want to see reason.
That's right, yeah.
They don't want to let us get calm enough to look reasonably and just look at individuals. It would be the thing that would drive, you know, racial discord. It's the thing that drives disharmony around the world. This particular guy happens to be a master at it, however, and it is consistent with his background.
Okay. You have the book we're promoting. Well, you have White King and the Doctor. That's the first book. What's the second one again?
The second one is White King Rising, The new one that's just out. And that's the story of the Trojan Horse. So the first one takes you right in. It occurs in the Mideast as well as Europe and the United States. But the second one comes right home to roost with the undermining of our culture, the takedown of education, the dumbing down, if you will, the drugging up of America. It's about the doomsday scenario that I believe this guy is going to implement. And regrettably, the story is coming true, even as we're speaking.
Wow, you have made a great contribution. I think it's an eye-opener, and I'm so glad to hear that you are saying these things. Whoops, we got a phone busy there. Let me get another line. We have a listener who will call in and chat on our conversation, so let's take one of those calls right now.
Yeah.
Again, our guest is Lee Kessler. Lee is an accomplished actress, and I think maybe her books are going to outdo what she's accomplished mm-hmm. as an actress. This is an awesome tale you're telling here, and the fact that you've taken modern-day events, real names, and intertwined them with in the fashion of a novel, I guess is the best way to say this. And I want you to kind of fill in some of those blanks for us when we return from the phone call. Here is a phone call, though. Good morning, you're on the air with Lee Kessler.
Good morning, Lee. I honestly believe that is a giant conspiracy, and it is really permeated in this country by the simple reason that wherever we are, whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan, or Mogadishu, or wherever, we have rules of engagement. I wish we had General George Patton back again. You know his rules of engagement, and they were, make the other guy die for his country. I enjoy this, and I really think there is more truth here than anything else.
I agree. Thank you. Let me just interject the story. I'm sure you're familiar with the church here, local to where we are, that wanted to burn the Quran, and the fact that it made international news. Do you think that the media is actually being controlled by the same people who are doing all this? In other words, would that story not have been a big story if it wasn't for somebody to say, yes, make this, spread this?
Yes, Larry, I think you're right on the cusp of it. It is a big part of both of these novels, how our media was compromised, has been compromised, isn't aware of it, and has actually moved in and is forwarding an enemy line unintentionally. That, no question, they have succumbed and aren't aware.
Tell me about the fictional part of this. You have an 18-year-old chess champion?
Yes.
explain how you worked in the fictional part. Is that just to kind of gel it all together?
Yes. Once I had pegged the real guy, Zawari, and what I felt he and bin Laden were doing and what he had done to bin Laden and what they were going to try to do, I needed to find a way to tell the story so that the reader could face these realities. It's pretty scary stuff because they're suspense novels, but it's scary. But if you can face it, you can handle it. If you can't face it, it'll bring you down. And so I created the fictional characters. One is the CIA analyst, James Michalis, who has a brilliant theory which proves true, but there's a lot of mystery that goes with it. But in order to prove it true, he needs the aid of someone who is brilliant at chess. So he recruits Andy Weir. And it's through Andy's analysis that a huge breakthrough, very, very shocking part of the story, starts to snap into place as they identify multiple games that this enemy is running on us and who they've compromised and who, whether wittingly or unwittingly, is working with them in order to bring our ability almost to zero in terms of our handling of things. And they solve it.
Do you think we're being controlled to the extent that even our leadership and maybe even the Pentagon are actually infiltrated with agents, you might say, of al-Zawahiri?
That could be in terms of there being actual agents or cells, but if the primary game is psychological, what we have to learn is if someone's trying to control your mind and your reactions and they're manipulating you in a game, kind of like they're playing both sides of the chessboard,
right.
Once you learn how they're doing that, then you can defend against it. See, I'm not hostile to our government. I'm not hostile to the military. I'm trying to present something that would enable them to do their job better. There's so many bright people trying to solve problems, and I think they're scratching their heads wondering, why hasn't the economy shifted? Why hasn't this worked? Why did this military thing work? Why did it not work? There's no question, though, I think our military is aware, that they're very aware of propaganda warfare, and I think they're aware that this enemy's cleaning our clock. Because every time we do something, we end up getting made out to look like the bad guys, and every time they do something, it gets justified.
Yeah, really.
And
well, you're right on target. Why? Well, the big question I have is why. I mean, what do they want? I mean, if they say, oh, the United States is ours, let's name it something else, boom, we're still living here.
Yes, exactly. I don't know as Zawahiri wants that. I mean, my theory about him is that he's nowhere near as noble as some people would like to think he is. This is a stone-cold killer. He's like the Iago in Othello, if you know your Shakespeare and whatnot. Mm-hmm. This guy will kill his own. He's very ambitious. He has climbed to the top. I believe he's driven by an entirely different motivation. But on the overall, to accomplish their goals, America doesn't have to be conquered and driven into non-existence. We just have to be rendered ineffective. And if our economy collapses, and if our willpower collapses, and if the generation coming up behind us isn't able to reason and think or assume responsibility, we're rendered ineffective. That stops the drive of freedom. See, it's about freedom and slavery. It comes down to those who dominate and those who like to spread freedom.
And though most people in general like to look for the good for other people, and because of that, some of the bad guys use that to manipulate the other people by just, you know, going through the goodness of other people's hearts. They pretend to be something that they're not.
Exactly, Robin. In fact, that's a big part of the plot lines here, that this enemy, one of their strategies was to take America's strengths and turn them into our weaknesses so that they could more effectively accomplish. And one of those is our sense of goodness and fair play. Pretty innately, most of us are good, and we're going to attempt to be fair with others. We clearly hold things dear, such as freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and this enemy has found a way for us to tie ourselves in knots on those issues. And be far less effective than we could be, and to miss points, just to not be willing to look at areas that we need to look at.
Yeah, you know, you are. It's amazing that we're talking about this, and you obviously came to a conclusion like this long ago. I actually only started thinking about this like this past week, and it was listening to people talking about this Quran burning and listening to people talking about that mosque in New York, I started thinking, wait a minute, are we being manipulated here?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no reason for me to hate my neighbor.
Exactly. Yeah, unless an enemy's coming after you and trying to get you to do so. It's interesting, just a couple weeks ago, the UN released a report, and for the first time, they used language that I used in my books. My books are about what I call public relations. Now, there's propaganda warfare, but we use Andy and the, you know, James Michaelis, tap it as public relations. And the UN just said that Taliban is in fact losing now the public relations war in Afghanistan, just like Al-Qaeda lost it in Iraq. So they're even beginning to pick up at the UN and use the term, this is all about PR, all about public relations.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. Well, we are being fascinated right now. Let me just reintroduce you. Lee Kessler is our guest. She's talking about a new book called White King Rising. It's the sequel to White King and the Doctor. And if you've been listening, these are both novels, but they are based on actual events in our current history tied together with the story that kind of makes it all make sense. It shows us, in from what I've heard, that we are actually, we need to wake up. We are being manipulated.
Right. Yeah.
And who is the White King? Is that...
Well, that's the mystery of the books, but I can tell you that I wrote these for the American people, because anything, but it's a, you know, it's actually a chess piece, White King, and the mystery as they put this together is who exactly is the Egyptian coming after, and who's he going to use to get at us? So
yeah, and so is that part of the fictional part of the book, or do you actually have a a conclusion that is real-world applicable?
Well, it is part of the fiction, but I think it's playing out so real that when people read it, they go, aha, now I understand. Now I understand why we seem to be fighting on all fronts, why we're concerned about education, why we feel that religion's under attack, why our justice system, why are so many of our institutions struggling or caving in, and why am I writing emails to everybody about everything, you know, and contacting my congressman about just about everything. They go, aha, I get it now.
And do you think we know the names of some of these cells? I put that in quotes. For example, is the ACLU one of those cells?
No, but they're certainly, in my opinion, doing exactly what the enemy would want them to do.
And it's really kind of sad when you think about this aspect, is that America really is a great country, and nowhere else in the world I feel that anybody can have the freedoms as they can have here. But then people that live here and they're born here, they grow up and some of them become very complacent, and then they only get agitated when they see somebody else coming in that seems to be more successful than they are in whatever business world, and then they stop and think and say, hey, you know, how can this guy that wasn't born here, how can he be successful and I'm not? And then you get that flare of jealousy going on.
Yeah, isn't that it's kind of a sad thing, and partly it comes from the fact, I believe, that America doesn't teach its own economic system, which is free enterprise. It's not taught in our schools. So as Americans live and grow up here, they don't really understand the free enterprise system. Now, people from other countries are looking at America for its freedom, but also its potential, and that American dream, which is to come here, own a business, work and earn according to your own effort and so on. So they come here and do that, and the American scratching his head wondering, well, how did he take that from me?
Oh,
no,
wow.
He didn't. He used our own economic system. We just weren't taught it. So I do a lot of talks and lectures to young people and on that subject.
My goodness, you are so right, Leah. That is exactly right. I mean, you see it all the time, and I've said this 100 times. How many of us are so complaining because we're making minimum wage, and meanwhile somebody moves over from another country, they come over with less than we have at our disposal. They realize the opportunity here, and somehow we're blinded to our own opportunities.
Yes. Yeah, well, if you're never shown something, or it's never taught to you in the schools, and it never becomes a subject, it's just missing data to you. And it's a real enlightenment when people all of a sudden start to realize our own economic foundation. And once they do, then they can understand how we grew to such greatness. Then it's a little easier also to figure out what you would want to preserve and protect and expand, and what you would fight for and what you would fight to defend. My concern is that if we aren't knowledgeable and aware in these areas, we won't know how to defend and preserve who we are and what we brought to the world, which was man's first hope of freedom, really.
I think part of it, too, Lee, is that when, let's say the great American dream is to build a car and then build a car manufacturing plant, and then suddenly you can include other people in on this dream by employing them.
Mm-hmm.
They get good paying jobs, and next thing you know, they're moving their plant offshore, and all those workers are now here pushing brooms, and they're not making that $60 an hour anymore. All of a sudden that happens, and I think part of the reason for that is because of the complacency of the people who actually make money from taxes, and that would be politicians.
Yes.
for the most part, who decide, well, they're making a lot of money, I should have some of that. And then the guy with the great American dream says, well, wait a minute, we're the ones who worked hard for this money. I'm going to keep my money and move elsewhere, and that leaves all the workers in the lurch. They're the ones who actually pay the price.
Yeah, no question, and it was a while into my life before I realized, Larry, what you were really covering there, that the government doesn't produce anything. And they don't produce anything that gets exchanged in the marketplace, so the only way they get money for any of the programs, whether we like them or not, is to take it through tax dollars. And it was a while in my life, as I said, before I really understood that. And once I did, I said, oh, man, I've got to make certain, one, I'm a free enterpriser, but also I'm an entrepreneur, but that I help articulate. Otherwise, you get government just reaching, because it needs and wants to deploy more money out there, but it's taking it away. And business has to keep itself alive to keep the people employed as well. It isn't as if these are bad guys. See, that's part of the propaganda. Mm-hmm. And there's been enough bad guys recently with their mess-ups and their criminal activities. And a propagandist would say, look only there, look only at the bad guy, instead of the millions of great businessmen and women.
One of the most powerful tools we have in America is the motion picture.
Yes.
And yet, and you're an insider, so you might have some insight on this. Why doesn't Hollywood produce movies that express, in other words, they should make a movie out of White King and the Doctor. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the phone, but I think this would be a great message. Why doesn't Hollywood seem to warm up to this?
Well, I'll answer that in a second, but first of all, we are very close to a major motion picture deal on White King and the Doctor.
Oh, good.
I should have some good word on that this afternoon. We're working very, very effectively, and we're getting very, very close, because they're very good stories. Just as a movie, they will be so suspenseful and wonderful intrigue and so on. So I think that will get made, but with regard to Hollywood, I think they make the movies that they want to make, and I think we have to accept that. We don't have to agree with it, but we better get that point as Americans, that that's not accidental, that is deliberate. And having been there, I think that those who have climbed to the top of their profession in Hollywood know very well what they're doing. The talent is there, the artistry is there, the skill is there, the connections are there. They know what they're doing. So if they're conveying a message that we don't like, or trying to influence a society in a direction, it is deliberate, including if it's absent. In other words, they're refusing to put out a message. That is deliberate. And people need to choose, I think, pretty carefully who they support and who's, you know, where they spend their dollars.
Wow. Well, it's an honor to have you on the show, Lee, and I'm just so happy to talk to you. I think you have hit it on the head. I think maybe more so than, gosh, so many people we've had on the air here. Mm-hmm. I think you have really hit the real crux of what this is all about.
Thank you. I'd hope so, and I would encourage people just go to whitekingrising.com if they want to read more and learn more about it, and we're all waking up. That's the good news. We are waking up now.
Okay, well, that was our next question. What's a good website? So it's whitekingrising.com.
Yeah.
And are the books in the bookstore right now?
It's easier to find them on Amazon. They could get it at Borders, but to go to Amazon or White King Rising and sort it out there.
Okay. Lee Kessler, what an honor. Thank you so much for being on the air with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Larry and Rama. It's been great talking to you.
Great
it's been
interview.
An honor.
All right, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Lee, thank you so much. You absolutely have gotten the handle on everything that's going on.
Oh, thanks, Robin. And yeah, well, you're looking. You're looking in all the right directions, so it's been just a real joy being with you.
And thank you so much, and you've got a good podcast.